Well, the clock is ticking for hundreds of Canadians still trapped in Sudan. The United States Secretary of State announced two rival generals in Sudan agreed to extend a nationwide ceasefire for 3 days or 72 hours. Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly says the government is exploring options to help Canadian citizens escape. Yesterday, a German plane airlifted dozens of Canadians out of the country. A Canadian C-17 transport plane is in the region on standby to help. Oral Brown is a professor of international relations and political science at the University of Toronto and an associate of the Davis Center at Harvard University.
Good morning.
We now know there is a 72-hour ceasefire and this window that may allow the Canadian government, with the help of some other countries, to get 1,500 Canadians out of that country. What are some of the challenges that we face when it comes to getting citizens out of war zones?
There is a tremendous amount of uncertainty. We live in a violent and volatile world where something that happens far away nonetheless affects people everywhere. And here we are now having to rescue Canadian citizens or dual citizens who have not left in a situation where this may be the beginning of a very large-scale civil war. We have now a small window. We need to get people out as quickly as possible. There's a problem of logistics. We do not know how long the ceasefire is going to last. So the sooner we move, the more people we can get out, the better it will be.
Let's talk about the logistics of that. What are some of the details that need to be attended to in order to make this kind of movement work?
Sudan is a very large country. It is the third largest country in Africa. And so not all of the citizens are located, the Canadian citizens or U.S. citizens in Sudan are located in one area. They have to get to a point where they can be extracted, and that could take time. So we need to find multiple ways of getting people out. Some might be, it might be possible in some cases to rescue them from the capital, Khartoum, which in itself is a very difficult operation. You will notice that the Americans did not even land planes. They just sent in some large helicopters. They were there for only about an hour, and they arrived very quickly because the Biden administration is terrified that there would be an incident, that there would be a replication of what was the disaster of American withdrawal from Kabul in Afghanistan. They do not want to replicate that, so they only extracted 100 or fewer people, and now it is the Germans, the French, the Italians and others who are bringing people out on a larger scale. So we have had to coordinate with many other countries, and we're not going to get all of them out in a very short time. It may be possible that days from now or weeks from now, there will be citizens, Canadian citizens, who wish to get out of Sudan, and it will be very, very hard to get them out. We may have to get them out over land. We may have to deal with some pretty unsavory characters within Sudan to try to find a way to get these people to safety.
The other difficulty, I understand, is that because there is no internet service or it is intermittent or people are running out of power and therefore cannot use their cell phones, it's communicating with these Canadians or dual citizens that this is actually happening. What are the logistics around that?
It is a huge problem indeed, and it applies to Canadians, it applies to Americans. Apparently there may be as many as 16,000 Americans in Sudan, a large British contingent. The Egyptians say they have over 11,000 people, and if you cannot communicate, you cannot get the message across. Some people may not know where the assembly point is for evacuation, and this makes it also much more difficult. This ceasefire, therefore, is so essential, and past ceasefires have not lasted a long time. Mm-hmm. This was something brokered by Anthony Blinken. It's 72 hours. If it lasts 72 hours, that would be a very good sign, but the problem is that every hour that goes by, the more people that are left behind, the more dangerous it is for them, because, as you said, it's almost impossible to communicate with some. It is difficult over a large territory to deal with the logistics of getting people to points where they can be evacuated from. The port city, Port Sudan, is one place where you can get them out by ship, but people have to get there.
What are the potential risks for Canadians that remain trapped in Sudan?
As in the case of any civil war, it is highly unpredictable which side is going to prevail. Are they going to take revenge on the other side? Are they going to question the loyalty of certain people, the brutality of the forces that are being used both by the Sudan Armed Forces, the SAF, and of the Rapid Support Forces, RSF, which has a history going back to the Janjaweed of tremendous violence, are indicators that the warnings that were issued to Western citizens by the State Department, for example, over the past 2 years, 11-4 warning, should have been heeded by people. And this is what we need to get across to Canadian citizens, that when there are warnings, they need to get out, because these conflicts can be, these areas can be very volatile. The outcomes are unpredictable. And at some point, we may just not have the capacity, even though we may have all the good intentions, to get them to safety.
And that was part of the messaging that we were hearing from Melanie Joly last week, is that there wasn't the capacity to get people out.
This is indeed one of the problems, that in the case of Canada, we have a fairly reduced capacity because our armed forces are not, sadly, in particularly good shape. You need to have airplanes. You need to have highly trained personnel to get people out from dangerous situations. And so, fortunately, we have good allies who have been willing to help us to work together, the Germans, the French, the British, the Americans. But our own capacity is rather limited. And when you have a crisis like this, that limitation of capacity is highlighted.
At this point, what more could be done to help Canadians in Sudan?
It seems that we are doing the best under very difficult circumstances. Getting the message out itself is a huge problem. The other thing that we can do is we may need to use funds to pay for some of these citizens to be released through land routes. And this is where it comes to a kind of gray area, that in a really bad situation, if there is indeed a civil war, several hundred people have been killed already, if the violence spreads, there's a huge history of violence in Sudan, then getting people out from more remote areas, getting them to the borders, it may be a matter of providing funds to individuals who don't have particularly attractive backgrounds to get Canadian citizens to those borders, and we evacuate them through those neighboring countries.
Oral, I appreciate the conversation. I know the story is ever-evolving, so I'm sure we'll talk again. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Oral Braun is a professor of international relations and political science at the University of Toronto and an associate of the Davis Center at Harvard University. Coming up at 8:10 this morning, we're going to speak to a man who got out of Sudan, and he did it by going by land to Egypt. It took him 3 days. His story coming up at 8:10 this morning on Metro Morning.